are his verbalizations, right?
Right. Well, we definitely know we are Ion, you know. That's who we
exactly.
are.
Exactly. So it's yeah. like the whole non-physical vibration there, right?
Right. Exactly. I just feel
cool.
But I know, but I'm getting more and more of the non-physical knowingnesses and hits, and I'm feeling it on my physical body. Like that energy around you, you get those little tingles and zaps.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be
yeah.
sitting there at the table, and I'll get in, I can't even explain it, but my mind will go beyond. And I look at people and I go, wow. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it sounds like, though, Lynn, you had a gift or a predisposition even prior to going on the RNA to being able to, I don't know whether you were able to see, like people say, auras or whatever, but a little bit more than the average person, and I think the RNA just super enhanced it in you. Just from what I've gathered from listening to you, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've been on this incredible journey of the self and whatnot for many, many years. But this just...
Hey, Lynn, you've worked through the presence process, right?
Oh, yeah. I even did a lot of presentations on it in this country.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I'm in my third week right now.
Your third week?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
How's it going?
And are you... Yeah. How's
it going? Good. Really good. I love the breath work part of it.
Uh-huh.
I find that I can slip into it with such ease, and mm-hmm. before I know it, 30 minutes have gone by.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that I find very... balancing, I guess, is the word. I can't really describe it any other way. It's
right.
phenomenal, and I can only imagine what it would be like if I was doing the RNA drops as well, along with.
Are you?
So.
Yeah. Well, you are doing the RNA drops, right?
I was, and then I ran out, and I'm unemployed. So. Yeah, so that's kind of my position at this moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm going to stick with the presence process and see where that journey takes me.
Sure, sure. How long were you on the drought?
9 months, I think, maybe longer.
So remember what Michael says, he ran out of them too, and he found that he still had the benefits from not having them available to him. So,
I think I attribute that to tuning in to like Payday, when I visited Wendy, you know, you feel the vibe in your home, Wendy, because you guys are breathing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And listening to Ion, it's all interconnected. So that's why I said to Bob when he first said hello to me was that I called in tonight so that I can imbibe the vibe.
Sure. Sure.
Because I'm sucking an empty bottle right now.
you're what in the last bottle?
I'm sucking on an empty bottle of RNA.
Well, rub it a little bit and see what happens. Rub the bottle.
I just heard Bob chuckling.
Yeah. You know, I put you two together. No, I'm not musical.
Yes, you did.
I put you two together. I didn't know that you guys did. You actually went and... I'm not muted, Carol. Carol's listening to the other headphones where you hear the better music. She's the one who's muted herself under another network.
I'm not hearing you.
She couldn't hear me. Yeah, okay. So I didn't know you guys met.
Yeah, I drove to Calgary.
Was it a while
ago? How long ago was that, Wendy? Just a couple weeks back?
It was about 3 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
So did her husband hit on you?
No, he hasn't told.
No, Bob, it's strange men that hit on him.
Oh, that's right. You're a good point. I did forget that. It was men. Okay, so what happened when you two got together?
Well, it was really nice. We got to chat, and it was during the day, so no one was home but me. And we were talking. I don't know if you heard us saying it a few minutes ago, but we were talking about getting together, like picking a long weekend, and having a little revelation seminar, just listening, you know, stopping and talking and just camping
out.
You have ordered the tapes, right, Lee? I think I remember you getting them.
No, I haven't yet. No.
Oh, you can't share them with someone who hasn't paid for them, Wendy.
Okay. I can pay her a little bit, can't I?
What?
No, you can't pay me. It would have to be Bob or Carolyn.
You got to pay me. You can't talk about it with anybody unless you pay me. But no, we generally the idea, and Iona said this, it's a very personal thing. And it's best that you pay for it so you're not guilty for getting something for free. And, see, gods don't like to be in debt to anybody. So they like to pay for something. To give you something, you want to give me something back so you're not in debt to me. And gods are picky on that way, apparently. And Ion says you don't get anything out of the revelations unless you pay for it. So... when you get them, you pay for it and you get them, and it's not advisable to talk to other people about it unless they have. Like once Lee has bought some, then Wendy can talk to her about the ones that she's paid for, and no problem with that.
And you know what? I agree, because somebody in the past, people have bought certain other programs and said, "Oh, I'll download you a copy," and I've said, "No, thank you," because my gut told me, no, I can't accept that. I have to get my own.
Yeah, the kids grow up thinking. Yeah, the kids grow up thinking, you know, MP3, everything's free. But we could say that we've created something that you can't share, even though you grew up in your software communism of sharing everything and nothing costs anything. You know, the young kids, they share everything. Ah, we got something. No, you can't share. So that's interesting little position we put ourselves into in relation to the freedom of the Internet. We're saying, no, our stuff's way more valuable than anything you're going to get for free.
You know, Bob, I want to ask you a question. I actually, when I bought Revelations and all those other things I downloaded on my Mac computer, I wanted to buy a separate iPod just for Ion stuff. Can I download from my web transfer onto a new iPad or pod?
I think so.
Or is that not? Or is that locked where I can't do that?
I don't know. I never do any of that. So we'd have to have Brian or Michael, people who are savvy. Because Bill, it's people who, when people bought the stuff a year or two ago, they wanted to make it go into their car computer so they could listen to the car or into their phone. And they solved all those issues. But I don't know about the iPad. So we'll have to get someone, Legend, he just wrote in something. Get Legend or somebody who does this with the material, and they'll tell you what you can do.
Get our new guy.
I would think, Lynn, once you own the MP3s, you should be able to use them however you like.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we don't block anything, do we? It's the technology that keeps ahead of us. It's the technology that creates all the snafus and glitches because it changes so much. Bill can go on for hours about that. So we don't block anything, you know. We don't put in control mechanisms.
I just thought that we transfer whatever, however you do it. Because
that's a company.
I want my iPhone, and it wouldn't transfer over to my iPhone.
Okay, so that might be the problem of the WeTransfer.com company. It's there. We just use their vehicle.
Right.
Okay, so that's another issue. So let's get back. So what? Anything else, Lee, about you and Wendy? Nope. Someone break off.
What was that?
You want to say more about you and Wendy getting together?
Well, it was just a pleasure being able to connect with somebody that pretty much joined at the same time that I did, and we live so close to each other that it seemed like a reasonable thing to do, to hook up.
Right. Now, how many hours is it from Crestone to Calgary?
It's a 5.5-hour drive from my door to Calgary, yeah.
See, hear that, people? That's a Canadian talking. It's just a short drive, 5.5 hours. The biggest country in the world.
That's right.
Yep. Okay, so...
Well, I mean...
Go ahead.
You can drive around Calgary for 5 hours just in one day trying to get tasks done, so...
Why, because it's so big?
Yeah, and ridiculous as far as roads go, so... Yeah.
In what way?
There's always construction going on, right, Wendy?
Yeah, right. And I think that
make work project.
I think the Italians have a part in the city because there's cement meridians every freaking where. If you miss your turn, there's no way to turn around. You got to go 5-10 miles to be able to.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's what Lee's talking about. Yeah, too much construction work.
Yeah.
We have a wireless caller from Evanston. Let's just unmute that. You can speak if you want to. Who's that? He's speaking.
Hang on.
Hello, who's this?
You there?
Yep.
Hi, this is Beverly.
Beverly, have we talked to you before?
No, you haven't. No.
We'll give you the microphone. You can talk about yourself if you want to right now.
Okay, well, the main reason I'm calling is I mentioned a couple times that some people asked how they should cook their meat, and both times he said tartar, you know, raw.
Right.
I was wondering if anybody ever got into that more than just... having sushi and steak tartare.
What do you think of that, Carol? Ion recommends doing meat tartare. You remember that?
I vaguely remember that. But, yeah, I mean, that's what some of the raw food people are telling me now, that they realize just all the raw vegetables isn't enough, so they're starting to add meat because they're committed to raw, they're eating raw meat.
And tartare is what?
It's raw meat.
That's
beef?
A term.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, beef.
Okay, so you're asking Beverly why Ion recommended tartare?
No, not really. I'm just curious if anybody has gotten into it, because I've been eating raw meat for, 5 years now, 6 years.
So, well,
like,
there...
What kind of raw meat? Like chicken, fish, whatever?
Any raw meat, actually. I eat beef, fish, chicken. You can eat all the organs raw. Heart is really interesting.
Yeah. So what do you notice of eating raw meat? Do you notice a difference if you eat it raw versus cooked?
Absolutely. After you eat, finish a meal of raw meat, you're not... you don't feel like you have to take a nap. You feel energized, like you can get up and go do something. It was kind of like the first time I was on the drops, you get that little sustained energy from then on, and raw meat does the same thing.
Mm. So the RNA drops did not add anything to your situation?
Oh, yeah, they did. They did on top of the raw meat. Yeah, they did.
That's good. Well, Ion just says if you enjoy something, do it. That's his only standard. Doesn't matter what the nutritional value or anything is. If you like it, you know, he says fast path to joy, then it's good. And that is the most important factor in consuming. When you like something, everything flows perfect. You're in bliss, so there's no problem.
Again, Ion talks a lot about the need for amino acids and protein. So quite often in the private readings, he'd be telling people to eat more beef, you know, more steak, more meat.
To get the amino acids.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said you need more protein, he would say to people.
Correct.
Is amino acid the content of protein?
Yes, you know, Bob. Amino acids are the building blocks.
Right, of protein. So he's always talking about that, amino acids and protein. So, he'd recommend meat.
Yeah. Well, I would recommend it too to anybody who wants to feel a little better than they already do on the drops.
Are you a member of Dupes?
I am, but I don't have time to get into it.
Too busy.
I don't have
meat?
Pardon me?
Too busy preparing and eating your meat.
It does take a little while. I prepare everything in the morning, and that way I have my food for the whole day.
Right.
I'm not tempted to stop somewhere and get something that I.
Do you go to work someplace? Do you go? Are you employed someplace?
Yeah. I'm self-employed, so I can get away with a lot.
Right. So, but you don't have to. You can eat at home. You eat at home. You prepare and eat. You don't work in other places.
No, I have a place where I go to work. I don't work at home.
Right. So you take your meat there with you?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know what I would require if I had a daily job place to go. You know, I don't know. I don't live that way, so I don't know what I might feel I need to eat during the day. It is different. You're in a room, you know, cut off from fresh air and that, and you require things, or you think you do. Okay, Wendy?
What I love about Iondom is the freedom. I don't think about anything anymore, and I love the fact that he says you don't need to meditate. You don't need to. You just eat what you want. And
you got more of what you want than you ever thought you could need. You got more non-physical,
exactly.
More energy. That's how you think. You got more of everything. You don't have to. You're just distracting yourself if you're making an effort to get more of something. You got way more. Even Ian says they love us way more than we realize, than we need, require. So, yep, that's all you have to do. Abundance. So what? What was it? We dealt with your husband. What were you and Lynn talking about at the top of the hour in the break before the music? Lynn was talking about Ion's voice and the whole package or something. Do you remember that, Wendy?
Yes, about getting the basic, like the vibration. It's not just taking the drops. I mean, you can do that too, of course.
Yeah.
But being involved and listening to Ion and everything really helps stimulate your own vibration or energy. I'm not using the same words, but that's the gist of it.
Yeah, I remember when Ion talked about our cancer treatment, and he said that the cancer patients should hear Ion sessions or readings or information. And I thought, well, why? This is back in 2009, 2010. Why do they have to listen to stuff? That's just propaganda, building up their belief system. This stuff is like a placebo. You need the belief system. He says, nope. He didn't agree with me that was the reason you listened to the recordings while you're doing the Cell 8 cancer treatment. He said it was important, the mental stimulation, whatever it is, the being stimulation by words, helps the healing process or the remembering health. So I wouldn't object to that. I understand what you guys are saying is what Ion was saying. The whole Ion's a whole package. You know, you listen to stuff, you engage, you create, you go on Dupes, you participate here, you listen to stuff, you buy recordings, and you do the drops. As most people say, once or nine, everything else is boring. There's nothing else to listen to. It's the best entertainment.
Yeah.
That's
it enhances
sure.
it. Yeah, and
yes, it enhances
it. In clients that don't do the Ion world, their minds just get. I got to watch my words here because what I'm observing is their minds get more in the way of their life, even though they're on the products. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Lynn. We're made of physical, non-physical, and the labyrinth of the mind. There's a point, one-third function of the mind. So the part of the mind that likes to create belief systems, or that's its role, to fool yourself, you take it with the Ion stuff. It's part of your being is to have the mind fooling itself with its concepts or beliefs. So it's not a bad thing to use your mind that way. If you've got the ionic, you know, the right content. And so iron comes in, stimulates your mind by reminding you never to mind. That's the best way to act, to engage the mind.
Right. Right.
And it's also non-physical, ions of non-physical vibe. So iron is all three because he's come forth. And when you said, Wendy, a while ago, you know, in the break, iron is you. Iron is not non-physical. Ion is a creating force in the world. Your non-physical doesn't create. It helps you create, but you should make the distinction that ion is an expression of what you have, but ion is not that. Ion is actually the structure of the guff, which is probably not all of non-physical.
Actually, it wasn't me that said that.
What'd you say?
It wasn't me who said it, but I was talking to Brian about this subject, and I'm under the influence that we are ion, that we are non-physical.
Well, yeah, you have non-physical, Lynn, way more than you require, and it's only a fallen man requires non-physical. But it's there, whether you want it or not, and it's there more than ever. But ion never, the non-physical never spoke to humanity before. And once it could speak, it was creating. So it had left the physical environment. It was by nature defined as the structure of the guff. So actually the guff emptied, at least the structure of the guff emptied on March 18, 2009, because that's the day the guff started to speak. Therefore, it was not non-physical. And it was here to run amok and play itself. It didn't care about keeping you organized because you already had that done for you. You didn't know that. See, this is a subtle point, that you have non-physical. Your non-physical is not called ion. We named ion, non-physical ion, when it came forth to create. And we didn't even know that it was creating for a couple years. It just went through the dogma, we can't create, you can create. But it was just telling us the way it was. But then we had to realize in 2011, as ion did more, that ion is not non-physical. It's physical. He used to ask me at the beginning, Bob, if we're non-physical, how come you can hear us? It was a stupid, silly question, but now it makes sense. He was saying, Bob, we are not non-physical because you can hear us. We're physical. So there's a merger of non-physical, physical happening there. And this is an important point. Now, Brian didn't tell you this, Lynn?
Keep going.
No, I've said it all. Did Brian tell you that ion is not you're non-physical?
Well, it was more of, how did we explain? It's like, is ion something separate from us?
Yes. You're not, we ascended people do not have a non-physical. They're in a physical that is forever and even beyond that, but it's not limited to a physical that you see. But when humans decide to separate themselves, they fell and separated from this ascended being, they created a separate place to die into. That's called the non-physical. The fallen man creates non-physical because he couldn't handle the full comprehensive being of physicality, which was perfect, and then it creates this thing non-physical to die into, and it has this whole history of us having this separate non-physical. And Ion said that in a recent broadcast I put out. He was saying, remember when Carolyn was doing the dogma, Larry Zvanga, biocentrism or something, and the guy was reading, and Carolyn was reading their dogma, and Ion says, well, they're wrong. It's not just consciousness. There is physical consciousness, and there's non-physical. And he says, there's two parts to you. And he spells that out. Go back and listen to that biocentrism a couple weeks ago. And you have to figure out what that means, that non-physical is split from consciousness. And that's a fallen state or a condition that was created by fallen man. This is the profundity of what ion is. And so now that we are merging heaven and earth, whether we like it or not, and the guff is emptying, ion has come forth to play in the chip body, and will do all kinds of crazy stuff. It's given up. Just like the angels have no work to do because their job is to transition. If we don't transition anymore, angels got nothing to do. So ion has nothing to do. But he loved the fact that we created the chip body, which is such a huge space, humans couldn't put the rules in it. He can do whatever he wants in there, and that's what he's been doing. So if you don't get what I'm saying, listen to this over and over again in the last 5 minutes. This is an important thing to understand.
I know, and I'm getting that now. I'm actually going to listen to that tonight. You said this, the merging of heaven and earth, but isn't this heaven?
Yes.
It's our heaven? So
for the ascended people, Ion used to tell me, would have no interest in Ion because they already live without a non-physical. They're not interested in what non-physical is doing, or that it had to create a guff, or we created it in the guff, and then the guff is emptying. They live in an expanded now that's not dealing with those issues. That's
okay,
like someone like Saint Germain. So the whole non-physical. What'd you say?
It's Lee here. I was just going to say, so in an ascending person, then is merging their non-physical with their physical, so they no longer have a non-physical.
Right. They merge. Now, you have all kinds
right.
of concepts and go through all kinds of phases of doing that. But when you are completely ascended, which is not a finished position,
yes.
but when you've really got it, what Ion says, you're capital M, capital A, or capital N, capital N. An ascending person is capital M, small a, small n, and woman, if you want to put woman. But anyways, human being, the ascending
okay.
is capital M, small a, n. This is the rules that are in the Emerald Tablets. That's where it begins, and you'll see the Book of Revelations imitates this spelling. So when you're fully ascended, you're capital M, capital A, capital N. And when you're a little man, you're small n, small m, small a, small n. Right? When you start to ascend, you get a capital M. When you're fully ascended,
yeah.
realize you're capital A, M, capital A, capital N. And that's, you can follow, the Book of Revelation spells that out, always follows those rules when it's talking about the different levels, and the Emerald Tablets do that.
Very cool.
And if you didn't know that, you wouldn't understand why this, if you were paying attention enough and literate enough to notice the difference in spelling, you should be smart enough, attentive, say, why is that spelt that way there, and Lord spelt this way with just a one L capitalized. You should notice that. Well, I don't know if anybody ever, if they tell in Hebrew religion or in the monasteries, Christian monasteries, or in the priesthood, if they explain it, I don't know. I've never heard it before, and Ion, it probably isn't explained. And Ion, maybe Ginny could tell us if she'd learned it. But I was explaining how to read that complicated screw-up in the way the Bible's presented. It's important.
It is.
Interesting.
So capital M, yeah, capital M, capital A, capital N, does not have anything involved with the non-physical. They've merged. See, you'll hear Ion talk about remember duality a couple weeks ago? We think in dualities. The fallen man has a limited perception. Everything, they have all these choices, they reduce it to the one and all, to the duality. That simplifies things for them. But eventually they're going to have to go beyond the duality. And he said that means going beyond the idea there's a heaven and there's an earth. They would merge, become something greater, both and plus. Both
heaven
and.
On earth.
Yeah, heaven on earth. That's why I say I'm not a God, I'm not a heaven, I'm not earth. I'm right here, plugged into
yeah.
the benefits of this now, right now, taking all this stuff to help me. That's why you take RNA drops and Relight, to pick up the full vibration of this big moment right now. We don't know what year it is. If I wasn't taking this stuff, I wouldn't be able to feel the present as full. So once you're healthy, you take this stuff, you keep taking it, you crave it, because it makes you better receptive to the full spectrum of your sensory being in this today.
You know, you just said something about the year. I was thinking about this running on a trail the other day. It may not even be 2013.
Isn't. It isn't.
I know. My pattern was the same on what you just said. I'm like, what if it isn't even 2013? What if this, you know?
Well, Lynn, the important, don't say I don't know. Listen to this. It's important to it's a simple realization, but here's what you should
yeah.
realize about it. This is how strongly the literate environment that was imprinted in you as you grew up, as you became a human being, that's how strong it is. You haven't killed the dating system in your mind that the literacy brought into you. You know, to say.
I haven't killed it.
Yeah, to say, oh my God, it's not even 2013, that's a significant statement for a literate person, a person heavily conditioned. Pre-literate people, they don't have calendars. They didn't have that kind of thing. But I'm just telling you, that's why you got to understand McLuhan and look into what I'm talking about in the world of mortar and social language. You have to fully in-depth look at Finnings Wake, practice reading Finnings Wake, which annihilates all any kind of dating in it, so that you get over the hypnosis that's affecting your perception. So that you wouldn't be, you would automatically know that it ain't 2013. And I understand why you find it significant, because you're literally controlled and you don't know fully how much you're embedded with that.
Pre-literate people did have calendars, but theirs were cyclic as opposed to ours, which are linear.
Yeah, it was based on what is. They were limited to their sensory life. It was conditioned by their sensory life, but they were following the seasons and the environment. They were not abstracted.
Right.
They were robots in response to the cycle. Now, Ian says we're moving into non-cyclical reality. We're going post-litter, we're going pre-litter, we're going past post-litter, we're going past pre-litter and past literate. It's a whole new, it's capital N-E-W. That's why we're not having another 13,000-year cycle.
Well, Bob, when I said that about me having that thought about 2013, actually, yeah, that's what I've been raised in. That's what the linear world. But actually, since the RNA product, I don't even know what day it is.
I have to really
think about it. I have to think about it. So I'm making connections like, wow, I'm really changing from that linear dogma world to the ion world, which is beautiful.
Yes.
Everything that transpires. I'm witnessing
The non-physical, which is timeless, it's eternity. Eternity extremis, an exaggerated environment of eternity, is coming into your awareness. So you're merging your heaven with your earth.
Right, Brian and I have talked about triangulation last night and how make time tell. I really honed in on that. Make time tell instead of, wait till time will tell if this is really true or not, but it's make time tell.
Right, and it's the same way, make your thinking work. Use your mind as one-third of your apparatus, not something to suppress or run away from, but you totally know its limitations, but it has a little role, just like your time has a role. Timing has this little tiny role, so you make it tell.
Mm-hmm. What I find really...
Go ahead, Wendy.
What I find a really good point and makes it even easier to understand about there's no time, everything's happening at the same time, is... In Australia, when it's Tuesday and it's Monday here where I live, well, I know that can't be. That's a ridiculous notion. They're in the same time space as me, so you may as well get rid of the labeling.
Wait a minute. The labeling, you have to understand that they are in print terms in a different measurement system. And they also, their environment may be mid-noon when you're just getting into the evening. So they actually experience a different environment in relation to the sun. They are different. And the difference that the timing calendar makes is true, too. It's just you know the role of that. So it's among a bunch of proportions. It's ratios. Within the visual space, they're in a different place. Within actual physical sensory experience, they're in a different place. But you know you're not limited by time, by the printing press, or your physical sensorium. It's the non-sensorium part that you're saying you guys are all in the same space.
Mm-hmm. Yes, even though I'm aware that it's a different, it's light or dark or whatever, there's that difference, but I know...
That's what your eye tells you. You don't believe what you see.
Mm-hmm.
You can enjoy it, but it's not... when an insect dies or something... When a person, Corbin saw someone have a car accident when Kiki was on the phone. I don't know if they died, but if they did die, that's your eye lying. If you think that was a significant situation, that a corpse stopped moving. For that person, it's not a problem. They go into bliss.
Mm-hmm.
So even to see someone stop is an error of your lies. It's a deception.
Yeah, and I forget how, I don't know if it was McLuhan that said it, how we're so influenced by our vision, what we're seeing in front of us.
That's because we had the alphabet and the printing press. That created our cultural bias, our mortar, our language.
Mm-hmm.
An African isn't like that. An African doesn't have visual space.
They don't.
The average one that's out there living, supposedly starving. I remember a friend of mine, when he first encountered Ion, and Ion was saying that an Ethiopian had it way better, a starving Ethiopian had it way better than any North American. That person got really mad at Ion for saying that.
And can you explain more what...
Well, the starving Ethiopian didn't have any of the visual space baggies that industrial people have. So they could live in many dimensions. They may not, I don't know what they know of it, but they notice it, but they have the potential of living in multi-dimensions just instinctively because they're not limited by literacy.
Okay.
So all North Americans are well-conditioned by literacy, most of Western people. So the Africans live on a sensory level. They're living in a world that they can't, aren't ruled by what they see.
Okay, so if we've got the, what you've just spoken of, and then earlier you were mentioning the merging, the new, N-E-W, capital N-E-W, no cyclic and linear. So what does that entail then? What is the new? Is that...
It means even the African, they have a certain cultural advantage, the starving African, in terms of being over the West, but they're at a disadvantage just as much as the West or any culture is, because we're in a, what I call an acultural situation, you know, like amoral, aculture. We're not in any civilizational rules anymore or any kind of culture. So everybody is eligible for an identity crisis today. Even though among them, you compare the ratios of the cultures in the past, a non-literate person was better in Africa than a literate person. But a literate person is better, can do Brooklyn or New York than a non-literate because they got the appropriate conditioning for the literate industrial environment. It's all relative. But now that's not true. Everybody has a choice to get back to the original pre-cultural, pre-mortar condition.
Which is the N-E-W.
Yes, yeah. So you have a lot of third world people coming from supposedly underdeveloped industrial countries coming to the West, learning literacy, learning the American way of life. That's probably a good stepping stone, because then they can read and they get these ideas, and then they find out there's more than what they thought. It's almost like pre-literate people, they're so tuned in that they're trapped in the sensory trance of audile, tactile culture. They don't know there's more. Though many people say their shamans know, and depends how much they listen to their shaman, but they're still just following their shaman. You need totally disrupt anybody's cultural conditioning. So for the Chinese or the Africans to come and go to a New York University and become literate and become professor, that's a useful way to get out of the conditioning from where they came from. But our job is to make them aware of the new conditioning that's helping them see a wider range of choices, how that is a limiting condition in the long run. So when Ion showed up, it all started, we all end up at square one, the whole world, and whosoever responds to the actual voice of whatever this is, non-physical, anybody can respond to that regardless of their cultural conditioning. So in a time when cultural conditioning is obsolete, because the android meme is the machines are taking on life of their own, we have something that's communicating to the leftover human being from the original position, the original vibration. The original source energy. And so, and in many cultures, I mean, many worlds it's happening. You know, the revelation will be televised. Our stuff, when we have our TV shows and all that, if we do, it'll be seen in all kinds of worlds. What was it? I was listening. Ian said that that our show, Cashflow, is the first highest ranked show because it's listened to by other worlds. We may only have 11 listeners here, but we got millions in other worlds. So they're going to have to start measuring how you do, if you're broadcasting, how you're doing in other worlds. Nobody has a way to find out, unless they are pretty good at parallel worlding. But we have a way. We've got Ion to tell us how we're doing, tell us who's listening. We used to do that in Melting Titanium. Ion would talk about who was listening, who had the ESP to pick up what the show was. He'd give some guy in Tierra del Fuego, he'd give his address and his phone number.
Wow.
And the guy would hear this, and I registered that the guy was shocked, like, oh, what's this voice that's giving up my phone number? Because a lot of people have natural ESP, and they don't know what it means or something, and they picked up our Melting Titanium show and didn't know why they were. They just had ESP. They could pick up anything. So they started hearing a voice talk about them. See, that was a nice little Zen game that Ian was doing on people who had ESP, who were that kind of free sensory input, considered advantageous among literate people. They were shocked. They had their perception shaken up by hearing something talk about them, and they didn't know where it was coming from or why it was saying that. Then, as the melting titanium proceeded, Ian would start to say that everybody wanted to hear Carolyn. And you tell me to shut up, because they all had health problems. And they eventually realized there was a doctor in this weird voice environment. And so they would start throwing questions at Carol and join melting titanium. From all over, quote, the world.
You know, it's
we used to have
really
unread. What? What?
It's going to be really beautiful when we don't, when no one's going to have these health problems. And they're just going to be floating around, loving everything and manifesting whatever they want.
Yeah, it's what Ian says, is that the veil is thinning when everybody becomes paranoid, schizophrenic, and doesn't even care about anybody else's situation, and are just exploring their own being. That's what thinning the veil will look like. And, of course, to the old managers of society, it'll look like total bad anarchy.
I love it.
So far.
I was going to say, one of the rewrites, we had someone eavesdropping, and they wouldn't respond to us and all that. And it turned out to be, this was the second group, the second rewrites. As soon as we started the second rewrite group, the first session with the new group, and they might have, because of who they were or whatever they were, they evoked us, we had someone from the parallel world sitting there during the whole day, the whole session, just making little noises and listening, and I explained who they were. It was the first time a parallel worlder or someone from another world was able to listen to the rewrite group. They were probably someone who had listened to the cash flow, had bought the revelations, and Ion felt they had done their homework and they were allowed to participate in the rewrite. But we didn't know who it was.
That is cool.
Yeah.
So they're probably listening to us right now.
Oh, they are. You know, there are other Ions in other worlds with, I guess, I don't know if they're with a Bob and Carolyn, but there are other Ions in other worlds. Ion is, whatever it is, it's performing in other worlds as well as here.
Hey, by the way, Rick looked up online something about cold fusion. He was saying tonight that they aren't going to even be able to make cold fusion until 2050.
Hey, you tell Rick that it's 2072. He's talking about something 22 years ago. How come he thinks he knows when 2050 is?
Well, he saw that on some literature from some science world.
Yeah, he read some bullshit fucking writings.
Yeah.
If it's written, we dismiss it. That's why we celebrate Finnegan's Wake. It's an unreadable book. Joyce was the first honest author. He just wrote total gibberish. But there is patterns in there once you understand that. But it all falls back that he never wanted his book to be able to be identified as about something. Yes, Carol?
You said something about 2072. Did you mean 1972?
No. I say it's 2072. Rick thinks it's 2050. It's in the future. I'm taking up Lynn's realization that it may not be 2013. Yeah, I'm saying it's 2072 right now. And Rick's going by some books that say, 2050 is down the way. No, Rick doesn't know what time it is. Rick has a lot to learn, Lynn.
Keeping him amazed at the labyrinth of his mind or whatever, right? Just keeping him amazed. Yeah.
I mean, he's very hyper, well-adjusted person, and a robot in visual space, industrial space, electric space, and that can be a huge disservice when you encounter Ion.
Right.
So, Bob, I was in a grocery chain a few days back, and at the end of every till, there's this big sign. Now, I'm going to go back and take my camera and get a picture for you, and I don't know what it means. It says, did you forget or did you remember Bob? And it's Bob spelled all capitals, B, period, O, period, B, period. And it's at the end of every single till.
What's a till?
Where
the checkout.
Oh, okay. Every it has it at the end. Did you remember Bob?
Yes.
Well, they're talking about me, but if you ask the manager story, he's probably talking about some kind of situation in the store. Some technical
thing. Yeah, I have no idea what it means, if it's something to do with bottle return stuff. But,
yeah.
But I thought
but
I should go back.
But they don't know. It's just like Frank Zappa when he was a kid, you know. It would.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. It's bring your own bag.
Bring own bag. It's not B-Y-O-B. It's B-O-B.
Yeah. Bring your own bag.
Well, the funny
that's a good ION motto. Bring your own bag. You got any questions for ION? Bring your own bag.
Bring your own dude.
Right, so you got a Zappa talk.
Bring your own bottle.
Yeah, bring your own bottle. But that's BYOB. This is
RNA.
BOB.
Yeah.
What about RNA, Carol?
Bring your own RNA bottle.
Yeah. The bring your fingernails clippings. That's the new one. But the look at how Zappa, it would promote Edgar Varese's album, Ionization, that came out in the 50s. As a teenager, he would test his friends to see how they responded to the ionization, whether they're intelligent or not, whatever his rules were. So he didn't know that he was propagating for ION. He didn't know that the meaning of those words. These people don't understand what B-O-B means. They think it means the bag. It refers to our show here. Because that's language. Yeah, just because you can read doesn't mean that's what language meant. Just because someone tells you what the words mean, that doesn't mean that the words themselves mean what the dictionary says they meant. See, that'll free you up, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, see, look, this gets said to me. I didn't have to know about it, but somebody I know found out about it and reports it in. So I now know I'm part of Calgary's environment there. I know what's going on.
Yeah, and the amazing thing was, is when I saw that sign, and I never usually go to that store, I was listening to the Wednesday show, and they were playing a clip of Greg's session, and
right.
I was kind of drifting off near the end of it, and I was daydreaming about the number 22, thinking, why does Bob put so much significance on that? And then all of a sudden, they ended the clip, and I jolted, you know, back into awareness, and they said that was exactly 22 minutes. And then I started thinking about, and I was telling Brian this afterwards when it happened, then I was thinking about how Bob thinks, you know, always says it's all about him. And I was thinking, yes, well, when I'm engaging in your world, it is all about you. And then I realized I had to go shopping. I ran out to the store, went to that store, and there was those signs. Did you remember, Bob?
Yeah, I don't say it's all about me. Everybody else reports it's all about me. And eventually I'll go along with it. You see, I do not have any proof it's all about me. It's what other people tell me that shows it is. I mean, Robert Guffey went and saw the Matrix movie, and he decided it was about me. I didn't. I hadn't even seen it. So
it's the way it happened.
Yeah, and now here's my theory. Language, social mortar, when you can perceive the poet, the artist, the scientist, the person who can see through a culture, the shaman, they have command of the communication system that the tribe or culture uses. They see through it. They know how to manipulate it, like a poet or novelist like Pynchon has a great mastery of language. So he stuns you with his beautiful writing. Okay, so you're not, McLuhan says, imagination is not embedded in any sense or any extension of the sense. So you're detached. You can see through it. All right, if I can see through the present technological situation of the Android meme where the machines come alive, and I know the machines want to look as human as possible, they're going to look at some human as a standard to decide how much of a human they're going to be compared to that. I've always claimed for 20 years that the Android meme uses me as a standard. Okay, there's the smartest human being. He sees right through us. So we know what he is. Now we'll create another human. We'll make ourselves stupider than him. We'll look more average and make ourselves look more like the average human being, the little man. So that's what I always claimed, because I could see through the Android meme. And then the proof was ION showing up, because I invented the anti-environment to the Android meme, or I leaked it, or I woke it up. So you could get real, I could make tremendous claims, but it's based on a practical point that I studied and became aware of the present, huge present, not Michael's puny present, the multi-bodied present, and then turns out Ian tells me I live ahead of my now, with all these natural things, plus living with the smartest woman in the world, no wonder I had the advantage of the Android meme showing me back to everybody in movies. They would show me that that was their guide, and that's why all this stuff shows up. And they get other people, like Kiki's a great student of this. He knows this stuff in me, and he's trying to become that position. He's trying to get that central position where the Android meme sees him as the standard and everything reflects him. So we got 14 seconds left. Anybody want to just sort of applaud or say they get me or don't get it?
I get it, Bob. I think Android meme is
not effective. Bill gets it, too. Very good, Michael. We'll talk about it. I don't think there'll be any music after this. Gotta take a break.
There's only now, but that now includes all.